Welcome to the Life in the City podcast from Antioch Community Church in Northeast Minneapolis, where we explore what it looks like to be a loving family inviting all people into the life-changing way of Jesus Christ. We're glad you're here. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Antioch podcast, Life in the City podcast. This is one of our, I think our third episode? Third real episode?
Yeah. We've had a few little teasers, but yeah.
Yeah, little teasers, a little welcome, but I think this will be our third episode. And we have a couple of firsts this time, but we're going to get into that. First of all, Rachel, how was your weekend?
I had a great weekend. My husband and I enjoyed our first kind of like night away from our six-month-old daughter. And so it was nice. Kind of a strange feeling, but really fun. We went to a wedding for some friends of ours. It was a pretty unique wedding because the groom was a first-generation, like, Russian immigrant.
Okay.
And the bride is, like, a typical Midwesterner. So even looking at the wedding, like, you could tell, like, one half of the room looked like white Midwestern Lutheran, right? And then the other side was, like, really chic, like, Russian heritage kind of people. We, unfortunately, sat on the Russian side and, like, stuck out like sore thumbs because we're sweet Midwesterners as well. But it was a really fun time, and it included a vodka toast at the reception, which was very interesting and unique. Was not prepared for that.
How many toasts did they make is the real question.
Luckily, there's only one vodka shop, but there were many toasts. And so I was glad they only passed out one of those. Yeah. But it was a fun time had by all. And my husband is a shameless dancer. And so that's just really fun to watch, too.
He's a little shameless in general.
That's true.
With that hair right now, oh, you really got
to
rock it.
Somebody, if you're listening to this, tell my husband to cut his hair, please. But how was your weekend, Coley?
It was good. I mean, it was a little heavier than some weekends. We had our congregational meeting after Sunday service. Yeah. At the time of this recording, this was yesterday. But I thought it went really well. We got to talk about the pastoral transitions that we're going to be experiencing in the next 6 months or so. And people got to ask questions, but I thought it was a great conversation. I thought it was really good to hear from Andy and Matt, their hearts, and it was cool to see the elders kind of be honest about like how it wasn't easy getting to this point, mm-hmm. but we are excited and at peace now. So like we're going forward from there. But we actually, I forgot to say this at the beginning, we have a guest with us today. This is one of our firsts.
Yeah.
If you've been hearing a lower tone in the background.
Not much lower.
Fair.
It is not Rachel with a cold.
We have Pastor Darius, our last man standing.
Barely standing at
what,
that.
What did you call yourself? Old Faithful?
Oh, Faithful. Yeah. Like the geyser at Yellowstone. Like, I'm still here.
We're not losing him. Okay, let me tell you a little bit of background on how I know Darius and how he interacts with my family on a regular basis. So Darius, if you've ever met him, he does have some medical needs, which require the use of, well, some medical devices in his body. Spring Retreat 2022.
Yes!
I am walking to, I don't know, maybe dinner or something with my husband, and I see Darius over on the side of like the walking path, and he's opened up this little case that typically he carries his medicine in because, well, if you know Pastor Darius, he's got some medical needs and he has to have some medicine for that.
Medicine remotes for my body.
Yeah, he's got lots of.
You're nearly bionic.
That's true. And so I see him open it up, and my husband walks over and reaches his hand out, and I'm like, what is Joel doing? Like, Darius can't just give him medicine. Like, he's not prescribed this.
This is a transaction.
And I kid you not, I look over, and Darius pulls out of his medicine bag just like Skittles and puts them in Joel's hand.
They
like,
were loose Skittles, right?
Just filled in there. And I'm like, oh, this gives me more. Like, yes, there might be medicine in there, but also this is really a type of medicine for him, too, is sugar. So just know that Darius is fueled on many different things, even what's not prescribed by Darius.
The joy of the Lord is my strength, and sweet tarts help. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Darius, in case listeners don't know, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll kind of get into talking about the core value of holistic mission. But for starters, who are you, and how did you end up as a pastor at Antioch?
The world may never know. It's like that lollipop. How many licks does it take? Who knows how long it took for me to become a pastor here? So I'm Darius Hubbard. It's me, my wife Jennifer, and our five kids, which was an interesting weekend. We like to play. I like to play games with the kids.
Yeah.
And so we were playing I'm just going to say, Christian things don't always make sense by the title. Like, it confuses you. Like, they name something and you're like, oh, this is what it is. It totally wasn't that. So it happened? Was a game. It was called 20 Questions.
Okay.
And yeah. So it's like person, place, or thing in the Bible, and you guess it. But like,
oh, but it was Bible themed.
Yeah, it was Bible themed. But then like the questions wasn't, you had a card and it had the title, like, what am I? And then at the bottom, it had the answer. Oh, and then it had these 20 things in the middle, but they was really clues to the answer. So it's like, why is this name 20 questions?
This is it called 20 clues.
Like, yeah. Like, okay. And then he yells, he was doing, my youngest, he's 8. He was doing better than most of the other kids. And then like, I'm racking up cards and he's like, I'm done. You're a cheater. You're a pastor. How can you be playing this with us? You're cheating. You're getting all the answers.
That's awesome. Like, so he felt you should be disqualified.
I should be disqualified.
Because you're a pastor. Yeah.
That's so awesome. If you're hearing about a pastor being disqualified, an Antioch is me, but I'm still the same one here.
Disqualified for cheating in a children's game. Yeah.
Cheating in a children's game.
That's awesome.
And so but it was fun. It was a fun weekend. But yeah, so me and my 5 children are here. I think when I came to Antioch, I only had 3 and a half. She was pregnant. Like, she was pregnant with David. But yeah, I was at a traditional African-American Baptist church in South Minneapolis at the time. And I was decided to go to college legally blind and in a wheelchair the best time you go to college. So let's go back to school. This would be a great time. But yeah, I was.
Because you weren't always legally blind and in a wheelchair.
Not always. Yeah. That happened in my early 20s. And I'm not legally blind and in a wheelchair now. So we don't have all day for this story.
All right. We'll have you back for like a Antioch member highlight or something.
And yeah, because there's a lot there. And there's a lot. I don't think I even know the full story of either.
Yeah, so it's a lot to that. And so it's I had some friends that I was making in class, and a club of all of them went to Hope downtown. And there was this men gathering called Fight Club. We didn't fight.
I'm sorry. Can we pause there? I love how like men's ministry in churches, they're always about this like Fight Club, like really
renegade.
Manly. Yeah.
Then they changed it to Gospel Men later. Like, oh, that fits a little bit better. But and so I was like, what is that?
Are you breaking the rules though? Because you're talking about Fight Club right now.
It's not existing anymore. Okay. So it's fine.
Okay.
And so he invited me to it, and it was like, basically it was a gathering of Christian men from all different churches around the city, and they came in for like a theme conversation. They had guest speakers. It really evolved into like having local preachers, like you get to know other preachers and people in the community. And so they gathered together. So it was like a full day kind of thing. Yeah. And so I went 2 years in a row, and at the time Lord was really leading me to leave the situation. Was kind of like in a really legalistic situation. And so I was planning to leave, but at that time I didn't, that was the first church I ever went to.
Yeah.
And so I was, got saved in my early 20s. So I was like, well, I don't know anything else but this. So I didn't want to leave. Nothing else was, it was comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so, but I went 2 years in a row and got introduced to this short guy preaching. I was like, oh, I really like that guy's preaching. And then I found out that the church was near where we live. We live in North Minneapolis, and it was in Northeast. So I was like, okay, this must be a sign from the Lord. Like, here go a place. And so I started visiting, and we never left.
And that short guy was Andy?
Yeah, it was Andy, yes.
Just to be clear.
Yeah. I can call him that because he's like, what, 2 inches taller than me?
Yeah, you're one to talk. So you guys started as just members, or like started attending, you became members.
Yeah, started attending, became members, started leading a community group over in North. And then that just kind of evolved into becoming kind of like the elder team, kind of checking that out, seeing what that was all about. And then I ended up joining the elder team, and then that pastoral residency, and then full-fledged pastor.
And your official title right now is Pastor of Community Engagement, correct? Yep,
that is correct.
What does that mean and what does that look like?
Really is, I just get the privilege of talking to a lot of people. Mm. And, but yeah, so I, I'm really like, our biggest thing is we have a grocery ministry, and that's just engaging the needs of the community around us. So it's really, my job is to figure out like, what is the biggest needs in the community, and how, as we as a church and as a body, how can we engage that? And so it's really us engaging the community around us.
Yeah. And I know you've done some work in the past and continue to do of like always reassessing who is the community around us. What do they look like? What are the demographics? What are the real needs? And I think some of that research led us to learning more about some inequality with food access in like 2019, 2020, which seemed to be such an appropriate time to learn about that to start fulfilling some of those needs in 2020.
Yeah, because our plan was never really grocery ministry. I think the Lord kind of put that in our lap and it exploded because of his providence. And so, so we was doing some research, like how do we, as I'm looking into taking on this job in 2019, like, what do we do? And I think it was actually before that, because me and Pastor Andy, we had took a trip called the Sankofa Journey, where it's brothers and sisters in Christ of different colors. We take the journey, we visit a bunch of prominent places in the South, and it really touched on slavery and really like the Black experience in America. Mm. And really that, how are we partnering together as believers, and like not overlooking this, but how are we using these hard things and these harsh truths to draw us closer together and draw us closer to God. And so we visit like the slave museums and the lynching memorial, which it had history from Minnesota in there as well. And yeah. So we did that. And when we got back from that, we was like, we didn't want to like just visit this, weep together, and then that was it. Like, how do we use this as momentum to push the church forward? And so we started doing assessments like, well, who is in our community? And that led to us finding out like food was a big issue. Access to food was a big issue in this community. It's a very diverse community. It's more diverse than people think. When they think of Northeast, you think of arts and fluent and all these different things. But like, there's pockets of minorities who don't have access to food and other things. And so we really looked into that and like, what do we do with this? So we like, well, we don't know. Like, well, we just did this Sankofa Journey trip. How about we start partnering with other churches and doing a video series just so we can learn more about that and having discussions. And I think 2 years prior to the grocery meeting, when we weren't even thinking that far ahead, when thinking and didn't know what a COVID was. And so I took the job in 2020 and we was like, okay, let's.
Those were during precedented times, not unprecedented times,
it was,
right?
Yeah, just normal times. Like
the before times, yeah.
The before and after. And so it was really like, what do we do at that point? And that's when we started like, oh, let's maybe partner with some organizations and host a meal. And
I think we hosted one, right? Yeah.
I think we tried to host one. It was more like a gathering of us and eating. And then after that, we was like, well, COVID hit. It was like, we can't do any of this that we was planning on doing. What do we do now? And we said, well, why don't we just purchase a whole bunch of food and throw it in people's trunks? And that really involved
literally
what happened in the heat. We had no plan really. It was like, let's just get a bunch of stuff and coolers and throw food in people's trunks. And that over time that evolved, and we went from serving about 15 families in the beginning, and now I think we have 211 registered families.
Wow.
And so it's just been a blessing to see that grow, not because anything we're doing. I think it was one, it was needed. It's something that was needed that existed before we even thought about it. And so, but God put us in a position to step into that and not create something new. And so I don't think we always need to create things new, like figure out who's doing something well in that and how can we bring the gospel in that. Even if it's not a Christian organization, we can partner with people who are doing things well and bring the gospel into it. And that's really what God allowed us to do. And it's just been a blessing to really engage with these people, meeting needs, but also getting to know them and hearing their stories.
Yeah. So that kind of ties us into what we were going to talk about today, which is holistic mission. And I think you kind of mentioned this, Darius, is sometimes the mission is not necessarily something that we come up with necessarily, but God gives us the mission and then sometimes puts things into place.
Yeah, and that's a great example too of how holistic mission is our core value. That's like the, we talked about the iceberg last week. That's the belief, the value below the surface. And what you end up seeing is the grocery ministry, the mm-hmm. program of grocery ministry. It's not that we have a value of grocery ministry. It's that we have this core value that we'll look at today of holistic mission. And grocery ministry is at the moment one of the ways that that's coming out. Well, let me read the core value holistic mission, and then we can talk about it. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. God is a missional sending God. As the Father sent the Son, we have been sent out into the world by Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Acknowledging we are hopeless apart from Christ, we desire to become friends of sinners as we guide lost and broken people to Jesus. We believe in the power of the gospel to transform people, our city, and our world. Therefore, we believe the gospel must be both tangibly demonstrated and courageously declared in our culture. There you go. So, Darius, how would you define mission?
Yeah, I think like we go to like the, if we do like the basic definition of mission, like a mission is like given to someone, anyone in particular, it's like, it's an important assignment. So we have been as like, so mission for believers is we have been given that important assignment to go and make disciples of the world and teach them everything that Jesus has taught us.
I like that definition, an important assignment. That's good. I don't think I've actually heard it described that way before. So is it like just evangelism?
It's not. I think when we think of mission, like that's the first thing we think of. And so I think you really have to look at who is our greatest example, like of Jesus, mm-hmm. like when he evangelized, like he went and he preached the gospel to people. I mean, he shared the good news to people, shared God's word for them, which is Old Testament. But like he shared these things, but there was always a proclamation and a demonstration, or it was a demonstration then a proclamation. Like it was always one and the other. So like we like to separate things and
yeah.
highlight things that we feel are most important based off of our culture or ideals or things like that. But like with the gospel, there's no separating the two.
Yeah. And I think I love that you pointed out, like, let's look at our greatest example of Jesus. And I think we see so much evidence of even as he teaches his disciples, thinking of like the Sermon on the Mount too. When he ends that, he basically tells them, this is how I know that you're mine and that you love me, is that you'll do these things for the least of these, right? You clothe them and you feed them. And basically when you do that, you're doing that for me as well. And you're right. It is gospel proclamation and demonstration that we're called to as the church.
Yeah. And I think thinking back to when we put these core values together 15 years ago, whatever it was, it's one of the reasons that we felt the need to clarify with the word holistic because it's not just evangelism. But so how do you, Darius, as you think about like your job, how do you think about trying to engage the community in a holistic, quote unquote, way? Like, what does that mean? Or what kind of things do you think about?
Yeah, I think it's when I picture, I see like how if my mission just simply as a believer is to spread the gospel, share the gospel with people. And then I'm looking to Jesus as that example. So I am pursuing what he did. I'm pursuing that example that he gave us. So if I'm doing this holistically, it's just a pursuit to carry out that mission and meet that person's whole needs. What are the needs in their life that are creating a barrier to the gospel? And sometimes those are physical and spiritual. Like you can't just meet spiritual needs and say, okay, they're good now. Like they're right. good. They're going to follow Jesus. Like, no, sometimes it's these physical things in their life that are blocking and hindering them from living out the gospel or believing the gospel. Especially when you're dealing with communities in poverty, if I'm hungry and you tell me Jesus is the bread of life, like, can I really believe that if I don't have food in my belly? And like, that's a barrier to me believing that Jesus is the bread of life. And he can feed my soul, but my physical body is not fed.
Right.
And so like, it's like, how do we meet those needs for people and draw that connection? Because he left that job up to us as his disciples. Like, it's our job to meet these needs. you look at Jesus, and whenever he goes to do a healing, which is the demonstration of the gospel, he heals someone, and then he tells them that go and sin no more. Mm. Like, he meets that their physical need was to be healed. They needed that physical because it hindered them from being whole and hindered them from hearing the word of God in their context. And like, they couldn't hear the word of God. You look at the man at the well. I want to be whole, but I have no one to put me into the water when it's stirred
up. At the pool
of Bethesda. And so it's like, and then you look at the woman at the well, like, Jesus met her physical need. Her physical need was, she needs to be shown that her life was sinful. Mm-hmm. She needed to be known that there was a man out there that cared more for you than what these other men they was getting from you. Mm-hmm. And in turn, he was able to show, like, no, you really need God.
Yeah, those felt physical or even relational needs sometimes mm-hmm. people can realize. And once those are met, then maybe there's an opportunity for them to realize they have more than just a physical or spiritual need. And that's where we as the church can obviously, hopefully, step further with them once we partner with them in meeting those physical and relational needs as well.
Yeah, when we always praying as a group, when we are getting ready for the grocery ministry, our prayer always that God uses this as an opportunity and as an open door to the gospel. As we meet these needs, they see us love each other well and love on them well. And it's relational. God is relational. Like, he's relational. He sent Jesus. He sends us. And so why wouldn't he want us as his disciples? If we're truly following him, we're going to have that desire and need to build relationships with people and meet those needs.
That's good.
So we've talked a lot about the grocery ministry, but what are some other ways that Antioch is living this out?
I think you see that in that relational part, like the way you said, they know you are my disciples, the way you love each other. I think one of the things that drew me to Antioch, coming from a completely different culture, and it was the way you seen how people genuinely loved on each other. Mm-hmm. And I think when we try to meet each other's those needs, that sometimes can be, even for us believers, can be a barrier to, like, I just had a baby. Like, we had a lot of those too. And so
we'll talk about intentional multiplication.
That's a whole nother thing. And so, but we share meals with someone sick. We're checking on them. I think we really love on each other really well. And I think that's just is a way that we do that here at Antioch. We got our community groups who are there relational with each other, who are studying the word together, who are growing as not just in, the Bible talks about, like, doing things in word and deed. Like, yeah, we say we're family in word, but you look at us and we living that out in deed as well. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really growing as a family together. And I think those are some of the ways that we are living that out as a church.
Yeah, that's awesome. Rachel, do you have any other organizations or ministry, like in the more formal sense, that community groups are involved with?
Yeah, I know some of our community groups have been involved even in years past in things like Arrive Ministries. Our group that my husband and I lead as well has been able to be a part of that, and others have done things like that as well, kind of seeking out what are some needs in our area. And Arrive mm-hmm. Ministries is a great example of an organization that was already established in Minneapolis that seeks to welcome people who are coming into the state, specifically in Minnesota and the Twin Cities area, on refugee status. And obviously, yes, they help provide a place to live and mm-hmm. some being able to provide them with resources to eat and find jobs. But knowing that people often coming from more environments and cultures that are what I would like to say a warmer culture and more relational, providing them with a community mm-hmm. to help welcome them and care for them in a way that Christ cared for people, right? Meeting those relational needs, sometimes meeting those physical needs, if they need things like furniture, or, oh my gosh, Sydney, DS, and I at one point gave driving lessons.
Yes.
And we were probably not the best teachers, there's probably a lot of prayer in that car when we did that too, but it was one way in which, you know, we had some extra time during a summer break and could do that. And I see groups in our church that have done things like this. And I know other community groups seek to do things in their community. I think the Orem community group did even a park cleanup day. And that's a little different because it's not necessarily interacting with people, but it's seeing a need in your community and thinking, how can we meet this need so that other people in our community can enjoy this space, can, you know, be free of some distractions and maybe some unsafe environment. Mm. So I think that's one way that I see our community groups is kind of like choosing, like, how do we want to engage people in the neighborhoods, in the city that we are living in? And I love seeing how each community group does that a little differently, yeah, too.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought out that point, because that's another way that our church do that well. Like, we just don't say, hey, only do your mission and your calling is just wherever the church is located. Because mm-hmm. we know a lot of people don't always live near their churches, but it's a both end. Like, yeah, we want you to serve where the church is locally, but you have a mission field in where you live, where you work, where you play. Like, there's a mission field out there everywhere and where you can meet those tangible needs in people's lives.
Yeah, and I think entering into 2020, back at the beginning of COVID, I know the government was giving out a lot of like assistance to people, right? And we had a ton of people in our church basically say, you know what, God has blessed my family with security and a job, maybe in a time that other people do not have this. And a lot of people took those stipend checks from the government and turned around and gave it to the community care fund, which mm-hmm. is so generous. But it was such a great way to see our church family raise so many funds to then be able to use that for the grocery ministry. But also, I mean, you could probably speak to this more, Darius. We get requests from our community on a pretty regular basis of people who have tangible needs that, you know, for their family that cannot be met on their own. But we can offer that to our community. And it's such a beautiful thing to connect with people to meet those physical needs.
Yeah.
Well, so there's a lot of cool things happening, but we're not perfect. Where does Antioch need to grow in living out this idea of holistic mission?
Whoa.
Please feel free to preach to us here.
Yeah, I'll just sit back.
I think, like, we talked about Jesus being our example. I think it's part of the importance of it. Like, we know a lot of things. Like, we're evangelical. Like, we pride ourselves on the knowledge of the scripture and Bible. But, like, knowing is not always enough. Like, mm-hmm. how are we knowing and doing those things? Like, because there's needs all around us. And I think if we say that Jesus is our perfect example, Jesus lived out proclaiming and demonstrating the gospel perfectly in life and in death. And so if we're looking to that example, we have to think about that and say, am I even striving to live that out perfectly? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes in our privileges and in our comfortability, we can say, oh, that's just the pastor's job, mm-hmm. or that's just that person, that's their person's calling. But it's really a call that God left to us all. And so it's a calling for all of us to do and Paul said, it's not going to be comfortable. Like, it's not always comfortable to serve the Lord. We get this idea like that serving the Lord now is rainbows and bunny rabbits. Like, it's not always easy. And I think that's the point, because we're striving to be more like Jesus, and he lived a life that was not comfortable. And it's really pushing yourself to be more like him. So I think where we can, the simple answer is like really living our life as truly like Jesus lived. Like, that's the easiest way that we can grow, but it's also the hardest. Like, it's easy to say it, but it's sometimes hard to do when you have a family, when you have work, when you have medical issues and all these things. Sometimes those can even be hard for believers to do, but we have to push ourselves past that.
Or to even see ways that those, what seem to be distractions, are opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, I never would have had a chance to explain the reason for the hope that I have to this nurse if I hadn't been in the ER or whatever.
Hey, that's one of my life stories about medical issues. Like, that's part of my story. Is like, but it was like, I had to, and when I got sick, it was really hard the first years, but I had to learn learn to grow my dependence on God and had to look at it like, well, if my hope and my trust is in him, like I can't let these illnesses be a barrier to like, he's introducing me to people I would have never met in life. So how am I using this opportunity that he has given me, and I'm leveraging these opportunities well. And so I think that's we all have a way that we can leverage the gospel well in our lives and meet people's needs and also meet them with the gospel.
Hmm. All right. So I'm going to bring us back a little bit. We talked about what mission is, what holistic means, how we're living out areas we might need to grow, but why? Why do we engage in holistic mission? Maybe why is this a core value of ours? And like, what's the purpose? Do we just do it because it's something other churches do? Is it something that makes us feel good? But what is the true reason why holistic mission should be a core value of Antioch?
I think at the heart of holistic mission, what we're trying to say is holistic mission is this plan and engagement of the heart of God. Like when he do things, he don't do things halfway. Like he do things fully. And we see that in Colossians 1. It tells us about how all things are going to be reconciled to God, on things on earth, things and in heaven. Like he's going to reconcile everything unto himself. But then we also learn Ephesians is like, that's going to be at an appointed time. So in the space of this time, what do we do and why do we do it? And it's so like, if this is the heart of God to reconcile all things, if we are his children and Christians, little followers, like he's our rabbi. The Jewish, they lived where their rabbi lived, eat with their rabbi, they imitated their rabbi. So if Jesus is our rabbi, how are we imitating him well? And so I think that's the why. We love him because he loves us well, and we want to imitate that. And God's heart is he wants to reconcile all things unto himself. And I think that's part of the value. We see that it's a value to our creator who has did a great thing for us. He has reconciled us unto himself. And so why do we not value someone else who is hurting, who's in need? The greatest need that we could ever have was the need. We was separated from God. We was his enemies. But while we were yet enemies, God, he reconciled us to himself. And so I think he made peace for us. And so why we do it is because it's the heart of God. Mm. And if we value our Savior and we value our Creator, it's a value to us as well.
And I love that you pointed out that restoration is not just a future thing. It's a now thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we don't just wait for like God to come in and say like, okay, he's going to restore all things. But no, he's given us a mission that we are a part of that restoration process here too on earth. So we're not supposed to like, you know, just sit back and twiddle our thumbs and be like, God will take care of it. No, we're called to be, and I love that you said, like little Christ, we follow our rabbi in doing that restoration work. And we're not as good at it as he is, right? We fail so much, but we can still be a part of that process, and God sanctifies us through that process too.
One thing that I think can be maybe disheartening sometimes or frustrating with that though, is that knowing it will never be done.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know, it can also be disheartening if my hope is in like, there will be no more poverty in Northeast Minneapolis, yeah. or there will be no more hunger. Like that's not going to happen until Christ returns.
Yeah.
But for now we can do what we can do. You know, to whatever the Lord calls us to, and use those opportunities to preach the gospel in season and out of season,
mm-hmm.
you know, when people are hungry and when they're not, or whatever, and recognize, like, I'm not the Savior.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be the one to ultimately fix this, but I can be Jesus with skin on, as an old youth pastor used to say to me, or used to say to our youth group, to be Jesus, you know, for people. At least their first encounter, making it possible for them to meet the risen Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're definitely going to have you back because, people need to hear your story. I think it'd be pretty fun. There's a lot of people that haven't heard any part of your story. and like don't know that when we met you, you were blind and in a wheelchair.
And unfortunately, we cannot like compensate you for being on this podcast, but I think I can find some like Sweet Tarts or Sour Patch Kids or something.
Ooh,
so
maybe that should be our sponsor for this one.
Oh, yeah.
Today's sponsor is sugar.
Fueling Pastor Darius since
1997, maybe.
I'm a little older than that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, this has been a really good conversation, Pastor D. We're going to have you back to share your testimony very, very soon. But yeah, we're going to continue with our core values discussion going forward. We've got, what is this, our second one we've hit? And so we have four more. Mm-hmm. But as we've talked about wanting to interview you, we also want to interview other members of Antioch. Mm-hmm. We would love to hear more stories of what God is doing in not just our pastors' lives, in other people's lives. So if you, listener, have a story that you want to share, we would love to hear it and maybe have you on. That'd be awesome. Hear your testimony as well. So you can contact us at podcast@antiochcommunity.org, and we will see you next time.
Have a great week, Antioch.
Blessings.
This has been the Life in the City podcast, brought to you by Antioch Community Church in Northeast Minneapolis. Join our worship service at 10 a.m. on Sundays in the Waterbury Building, or contact us at podcast@antiochcommunity.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.